Following interview by Elaine B. Holtz of Tom Schwedhelm, candidate for Santa Rosa City Council, District 6, was recorded as a live broadcast over Radio KBBF 89.1 FM on October 15, 2018, between 3 to 5 p.m. He was one of six candidates interviewed that day, and each candidate was asked the same questions. Audio engineering and editing is by Kenneth Norton.
Well, welcome back, folks. I am your proud hostess, Elaine B. Holtz, and we are hosting a special election program hosted by KBBF. We are interviewing the six candidates for a seat on the Santa Rosa City Council. And with me in the room right now is Councilman Tom Schwedhelm. And welcome, Tom. Welcome to the program. I'm so happy to see you.
Thanks for inviting me.
And what's so interesting, you're running unopposed. And when I sent you the invitation, I said, look, I know you're not running. You're running unopposed, but I welcome you. He said, absolutely. So I welcome you here. And I understand there was a little thing at the League of Women Voters, and people think that maybe you didn't show up, just to let them know that I think they assumed that you were not running against anybody. So
I don't know, because a friend of mine told me, hey, are you going to be going to that? And I'm like, I have not received an invitation. And well, so when I saw it in the local paper that Councilmember Schwedhelm didn't appear, well, he wasn't invited. I would have been more than happy to appear there, because I think it's important. For the more the community understands who's representing them on council, the better. So that's why I appreciate this invitation.
Yeah, and I also, that's why I wanted to mention it, because I know you. It's not like you not to show up. Let's put it
that
way. Okay, so here, let's look at the first question that we have. Oh, before we do a question, I did not have a chance to get a short bio from you. So I don't know what happened. I couldn't find it in the email. I looked all over, and I looked at all your websites from the past, and I thought to myself, I'm just going to let Tom just tell us what he'd like to tell us about himself. So go ahead. Give us a few minutes. It's about who you are.
So who am I? Let's see. Remember that for 31 years I worked for the Santa Rosa Police Department, and in December of 2013, I retired as its chief of police. I was the 12th chief of police in the history of the Santa Rosa Police Department. And shortly after retirement, I was approached by some members of the community and say, hey, Tom, have you ever thought about running for council? And it was something that was a possibility. I'd always thought, I wasn't one of those when I retired that I'm going to be doing A, B, and C next. And that was one of the possibilities. So I talked with my wife, talked with my family, and I decided to run for council. So I was fortunate enough in November of 2014 to be elected to the Santa Rosa City Council, and now I'll be reelected in November of 18 to the council.
Where do you originally come from?
So I was born in Oakland. I'm a second generation police officer. My father was with the Oakland Police Department. And I think fortunately for us, he decided he didn't want to raise his family in Oakland, even though he grew up in Oakland, and we moved to Pleasant Hill, and then ultimately in 1972 moved to the city of Nevada, where my mother still lives. So I came up here to Santa Rosa in about 1980 to go to the junior college. I'm a proud graduate of SRJC, and like I said, I got hired by the Santa Rosa Police Department in 1983 and stayed at that wonderful department my entire career.
So a little personal note, I hear you have a wife and you have children.
Yes, I do.
And did you meet your wife in Santa Rosa? I'm just curious when you went to the JC.
Actually, through mutual friends. She actually, so I went to Novato High School, the Mighty Hornets, go Hornets, and my wife went to Terra Linda. She was a Trojan, and we didn't know each other, but through a mutual friend, we saw each other and kept seeing each other and fell in love. I have two wonderful kids, Troy and Nicole, who are both living in San Francisco and working in the financial district, and we are very blessed.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. We need to know our people. It's very, very important.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people say, oh, that's Tom. He's the chief of police. What should I call you? Council member now? Or chief? How about call me Tom? Because the chief of police is not who I am. It's what I did. The city council member is not what I – it's what I do, not who I am. And there is a big difference, because we're all just people serving different roles in this community.
You know, there's a line in a song that I was listening to, our hearts beat the same. Why don't we understand that? I mean, it's a simple concept, you know. We just human beings, just people just sitting here having a conversation. Well, you know, you are at an advantage. Number one, you do not have anybody running against you, which so we can be even easier. I feel even more relaxed, you know, because I feel I can ask you personal questions and I can just move along with you and not have to really censor myself of, you know, being afraid of saying the wrong thing. So let's start at the beginning, and I you know, you have a little bit more knowledge than most, you know. Is how do you see the fiscal health of our city, and what do you believe is needed to improve upon it? And I know we're having this huge challenge because of the fire, but overall, in general, what are your thoughts and what are some ideas you have?
So it is a very challenging situation. I know the council, it was one of our priorities a couple of years ago to try to right-size the organization, and then the fires came. So we knew this year we were actually dipping into the reserves to balance our budget, and then the fires came. I think employee costs alone just for response to the fire was over $7 million. So we had a very robust reserve policy, Our policy indicates we're supposed to have 15 to 17% of our reserves. We were well above that. But even with that robust reserve policy, we could not absorb the hits related to the fire. And so a couple weeks ago, we had the first presentation from the city manager about the first steps towards right-sizing the organization. We'll be about $7 million worth of cuts, about 49.75 positions. And so we are starting that process to right-size the organization because our structure is not sustainable as it was. And unfortunately, I think many times governments have always looked at how do we increase the revenue. But I'm a big proponent. You have to look at the other side of the ledger, too, the expenditures. How do we moderate our expenditures? And so that's what we're starting to have some of those very difficult conversations. And so in the short term, I'm sure some of the other candidates have and will be talking about their position on Measure O, the Coruscant sales tax, which will be for 6 years. I believe we desperately need that because one of the other challenges in the community, a lot of people don't like to talk about this, like, okay, city, why don't you fix yourself? One of the reasons our organization is the way it is because the demands from the community are so great, right? And so if we have to actually start cutting in additional positions, the people who are going to be impacted by this are the people who ask or have the expectation the city will be there to help them, whether it be public safety, roads, parks, that all comes at a cost. So these are some very challenging times.
Well, I think, too, I think one of the things that I learned during the fire more than anything is that the power of people banding together and trying to bring solutions together and not just maybe pointing the finger in one direction like this is how it's supposed to be solved. But it's hard. It's a hard mindset because we're used to doing things one way and then all of a sudden to change. I know even us, we were fortunate we didn't lose our home, but we've still been impacted in ways that you really can't understand.
Well, yes, and I just along with that, I live in the Coffee Park neighborhood. And so I participate with the Coffee Strong meetings and just talking with a lot of the other neighbors is that you're absolutely right. We're in this together. But there's some things that flare up that no one anticipated having to occur. Even though we have over 200 homes currently under construction in Coffee Park, that impacts those of us. My house, I was very fortunate. We didn't lose our house. But there's a lot of standing homes that have the impact of working in this construction zone and the PG&E retrenching. But we are all in this together, even though sometimes tempers do flare. But we just keep going back to we're just people helping people.
I mean, that's the best you can do. And, you know, one of the impacts that I was writing, I write for the Snippets, and one of the impacts that I have is that I felt I lost a certain amount of innocence because I had never in my whole 78 years ever been had my life or my home or anything threatened like this. And it was a loss of innocence all of a sudden realizing what people must go through being homeless, being in war zones, all these different factions, and just the emotional impact.
Totally agree. You know, I mentioned to you that I was born in Oakland. I lived the first six weeks of my life in Oakland. My grandfather's house where we lived burned down in the 1985 Oakland fire. So that was as a kid growing up, you know, I saw what the neighborhood looked like. And then going back there after the fire where it looked like a lunar landscape. And it's impactful, especially, you know, all the memories you have as a kid walking with my brothers to Lake Temescal to go crawdad fishing. Totally different neighborhood. So it's not the same as what it is this time because it's always, you know, over there. It's been some other community. Even my grandfather, okay, that was them in Oakland. But when it hit home like it did in October of 2017, it's still affecting us to this day. And it will be for years.
Well, also, the next question I have from you, and I'm looking at the time here. There might be something at 357. If all of a sudden it comes at your time, we'll let it go and then we'll come back. So don't just
I'm here for you, Elaine.
Okay. There's a lot of controversy around rent control and the rising costs. What are some of your thoughts in that area?
So I'm not a supporter of rent control because I really think it's a solution looking for a problem to fix. What the issue is, we need more housing, and rent control does not build more housing. I mentioned to you that both my kids live in San Francisco, which is a rent-controlled city, and I saw specifically what my son had to do. There's like a second level, almost like a black market, if you will, where the renters are actually sub-renting a bedroom, and he would go for interviews where they would actually just pick three people that they thought sounded good, and then they pick that one person, which again leads to a lot of challenges, basically just the rent that they could charge, but also some of the other discrepancies and way that they would treat who they would allow to move into the apartment with them. So that's an experience I know is occurring in a community that had rent control. But my big reason is that it stagnates movement in the housing levels. So if you look at housing, we have market rate housing, we have workforce housing, affordable housing, subsidized housing, and the permanent supportive housing. So those are like different bands of housing. If you do rent control, you're going to stagnate many of those levels because if they have a great deal in this rental, why would they ever want to move up? And I always think myself, when I first moved into Santa Rosa, I lived in the 2600 block of Coffee Lane back when we had the trains, and I remember my apartment would shake when the train would go by. This is well before SMART. But if I had rent control, I probably never would have wanted to leave there because it would have been a great deal, right? Even though as I progressed through my career, I could have afforded to go to another apartment, but there would have been no movement. So actually, it's going to stagnate that movement amongst all housing. So we need programs that are going to build more housing, not stagnate the housing.
I'm wondering if they should have set up a debate. A debate where you just debate and come to some sort of conclusion where everybody can agree, because you hear so many different stories about what's right and what's wrong.
So I like to look at it because, this is not my wheelhouse, coming from a law enforcement background, rent control. So I go all in on many of these different issues. So I wanted to learn all about it. And what I found, especially on council, it was pulling, I think, the community apart. Because, many of the folks who are in favor of rent control, it's an emotional argument, very compelling emotional argument. I remember the first young lady when we did the vote on council, she's a JC student. She looked at us and she said, if you don't support rent control, there'll be blood on your hands. That was the first speaker. And I remember thinking, I'm like, young lady, I've done a whole lot of research and I'm letting data drive that decision, not emotion. And that's what it becomes. I think it just starts pulling the community apart, and people start pointing fingers. Just like you were saying with the fire, you start pointing the fingers. And there's many people who say, if you don't agree with us, then we're against you. And I just don't think that's a good thing. The solution to our homeless issue and to our rent control, more housing. And that's what we're working towards in Santa Rosa.
I think also what you're saying, too, is as a candidate, as a person who's serving on the board, you really have to know who you are for yourself to stay strong in some of your opinions.
Because, oh, absolutely.
Because, I know even with the radio, you're so many different ideas and so many different thoughts. Well, let's go on to the next one. Okay, we got 1 minute here, and then is there going to be a little bit of
2 minutes of jingles promo.
2 minutes of jingles, and when that comes in, we'll just stop. This is also has to do with the secret question, and I'm putting you kind of on the spot because, you were the chief of police. We cannot deny that. So, with the homeless, there's a lot of controversy around the homeless, and it's what do you think what are some better ways that they're coming into the next cycle, especially the next cycle of people coming in? What are some better ways? And also, I did a lot of research and surveys with different people, and to find out what questions they wanted asked of the candidates. And one of the questions that came up is, isn't there a better way to handle the people rather than going in, busting them up, taking all their things away, fining them? So I'd like you to address that in the best way you can.
So it's interesting for me with that because I am heavily involved in some of our solutions to ending homelessness, because that's one of my big things, is that let's not continue to management, which has been going on for years. Let's actually end it. And so the amount of outreach to those encampments, that somehow that gets missed, that for months ahead of time, we'll be telling the folks, this is not a location suitable for habitation.
Okay, we're gonna wind up for just a bit, and we will be back.
Gran parte del norte de California.
You're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa, the voice of your community.
KBBF has a new webpage at kbbf.org and also a Facebook page at facebook.com/KBBF891. KBBF tiene un nuevo sitio web en el internet, kbbf.org, y también tiene una página de Facebook, facebook.com/KBBF891.
KBBF, a través del 89.1 FM en tus ondas radiales, te invita a que sintonices Hombre Nuevo con Julián Albatros, todos los lunes de 7 a 9 de la tarde noche. Emprendamos el camino al análisis interior y reaprendamos a ver el mundo. Hombre Nuevo, todos los lunes de 7 a 9 de la tarde noche a través de KBBF 89.1 FM, tu radio. Te esperamos.
Querido Radio Escucha, una gran manera de apoyar a KBBF es mediante la donación de su carro no deseado. Nosotros arreglamos recoger el carro sin ningún costo alguno. Para obtener más información, llame al 877-411-3662.
Support for KBBF comes from you, the listener. A great way to support community radio KBBF is by donating your unwanted car. We'll arrange for it to be picked up at no cost to you. To learn more, call 877-411-3662.
Isa, sin celulares en la mesa, por favor.
Ya va, papi. Ay, qué bueno. Una amiga tendrá una fiesta ese fin de semana.
¿Ah, sí? ¿Quién?
Jamie.
¿La del fútbol?
Sí, papi.
¿Y sus padres estarán ahí?
Claro que sí, mami.
Y dime, ¿no crees tú que van a beber alcohol ahí, correcto?
No creo.
Mi amor, uno creo no es suficiente.
Isa, sabemos que hay presión de muchos para tomar, pero te pedimos que no bebas. El alcohol puede hacer cada cosa de las cuales te puedes arrepentir.
No voy a tomar. Seguro que a Dani nunca le preguntan sobre esto cuando él sale.
Sí me preguntan.
¿Really?
Really. Y tienen bastante razón.
Hable. Ellos escuchan.
Abuelita, ¿me pasas la ensalada, por favor?
Hable con sus hijos sobre el consumo de alcohol entre los menores. Patrocinado por el Departamento de Salud y Servicios Humanos de los Estados Unidos.
Las opiniones expresadas en este programa no reflejan el sentido de KBBF o su mesa directiva, sino son solamente las opiniones de sus autores.
Hola, mi nombre es Alexis, soy una estudiante de Novaro High School. Estás escuchando KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa.
Well, welcome back. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host, and you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Santa Rosa, Calistoga. And this is a special election program that we're having. We are interviewing the six candidates for Santa Rosa City Council. And what's so exciting about this particular election is the first time in Santa Rosa's history that we are working with three districts, and this is the first time that we're voting that way. And sitting at the opposite end of the table with me is Councilman Tom Swellham. Welcome again, Tom. We were just talking about your issues around homelessness, and I put Tom on the spot. I says, Tom, hey, you're the ex-police chief here in Santa Rosa, and I want to know, how would you handle the homeless? What are some of your ideas? And also, what is a way to prevent some of the ways that they are breaking up these encampments? And Tom was just about to explain about the process, so continue. And thank you so much for your patience.
Sure. So for me, first of all, let's acknowledge it's a very challenging situation. And the big thing is communication, because there's not one book where you can go, let's see, how do we break up this encampment? But the bottom line is a lot of the locations where they've been are not suitable for human habitation, whether it's Apollo Way, whether it's on the Joe Rodota Trail. And so I know our outreach workers and even our police department, because you'd be surprised. Some people would be surprised. I'm not, because I know the quality of our police officers. They have strong relationships with the folks. And it was interesting with the most recent one, where I had someone from Homeless Action actually called me, and I've met with him several different times, and he's talking to me about, we have to change something. This can't go on. And I'm like, well, tell me what happened, because didn't they say you guys need to be out of here by this point? You know, if you're choosing not to accept services that are being offered, I get it, but street is not a place for human habitation. And then he acknowledged that, and he says, yeah, but people are going to wait for the very last minute. Well, that's great, but I'm not sure what a government entity, the police department, is supposed to do when they say it's no longer acceptable. We're trying to get that voluntary compliance of the law. It's no longer acceptable to be at this location. You have to move. And some folks wait for the last minute. And then at what point do you say, we've told you, we've offered you services, we've told you, we've offered you service, and you're choosing not to accept any of those? I'm not sure what the expectation is, what that magic response is.
Just you mind me giving a little opinion here from a woman's perspective?
You're absolutely
I know
welcome.
Most of the time whenever I had any kind of trauma coming on, I kind of deny it's happening, and then all of a sudden it's upon me. You know, and I imagine that might be, you know, just that's just a little consideration. Like sometimes, you know, because you don't want to face it. You don't want to face that you're going to be thrown out. But that's just a
so we have sign. Outreach professionals, because I do a lot of work with our homeless population, both from the fire survivors with our Roxanoma County and with our HOPE team, where we're dealing with the most challenging folks who are impacting the criminal justice system and the healthcare system. And to try to help them help themselves, it is a very challenging situation. But unfortunately, there are some people who I don't think are trained professionals who want it, you know, think it ought to be this way. We've got some wonderful trained professionals out there, because this is a complex social issue. So I just wish some of our professionals would get more credit for the wonderful job that they're doing.
Well, you just gave them credit, and I thank you. You know, I mean, people will probably beat me on the head for saying this, but I'm beginning to look at life lately and thinking that everyone's just doing the best they can in this crazy situation. Well, we're coming to the end of this segment, Tom, and I really appreciate everything that you had to say. And now I want you to tell the folks one thing that you really want them to know about you as you step into your next. This is your second term.
Yes, it will be.
As you move into your second term, something that you really like to tell folks and what you're going to be working on.
You know, for me, the big things, obviously, in the city of Santa Rosa are homelessness situation, our housing situation, and the rebuild from the fires. And I, with a great deal of confidence, I know there's no one else putting more time and effort into those three big issues than I am here. And I'm going to continue to do that. And what my strategy is and what I've done throughout my law enforcement career in the first 4 years on the council, I work on relationships, because relationships lead to trust, and trust leads to progress. So we were talking earlier about the finger pointing. Let's not point fingers. Let's talk. I'm willing to meet with people. In fact, I have meetings with people that, wow, you meet with those folks? Absolutely, because I truly believe so many of us want the best thing for Santa Rosa. Might have different strategies, but I'm going to continue to be engaged in the community to solve many of our problems.
Well, I have a secret for you. You're in my district. You're representing our district. We live over here on over by Cottingtown.
Oh, well, actually, you're probably not in my district.
Yeah, no, we're in your district. We're,
okay.
You're on the ballot.
Okay,
we
good.
Have, there's
good.
A little section. You know, same thing with James Gore. There's a little section right there.
Yeah, I know it goes West Steele, Marlowe, yeah, up to Greenville. So depending upon how close to Cottingtown you
well,
are.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. Thank you so much for coming in. I want to wish you much success on your second term. And you'll be hearing from me, as you know.
Great. So thank you so much for what you're doing with KBBF. I really appreciate it. It's great for a community asset.
Oh, this is a wonderful. In fact, that's a good point right now, folks. You know, here you are. You're listening to an election special being sponsored by KBBF. 89.1 FM. So if you feel so engaged to become a member, just go on our website, www.kbbf.org. Go to the right-hand side. You'll see donations, and it gives you all the information you need. We're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to go get Victoria Fleming. And I believe, are we going to play, can you play song number 3 instead of song number 2? I like to, because there's one song I didn't want to follow. I didn't want to follow you, so I think we should play number 3, and then we'll go and get Victoria Fleming.
When politicians come to town and kiss baby till the noses turn brown, you can bet your bottom dollar they want your vote. So speak your mind, because believe it or not, this world has become a big melting pot. It's easy to get yourself lost in the lot, because the world's made up of all kinds of people, so vote. Don't you never mind the weather, get your butt in the booth and pull down the lever, vote. For worse or for better, let your voice be heard. We've got
Fuzzy-headed, peace-loving, carrot-chomping farmer boy, skin-headed, neo-Nazi face, fashion paranoid, fat cat sitting back, scoffing at the tabloids, yep. And there's cross-burning, homophobic, church-going, family types, flag-burning, anti-war, give the poor more types, out-of-school, know-it-all, cliff-claiming prototypes, the world's made up of all kinds of people, so vote. Don't you never mind the weather, get your butt in the booth and pull down the lever, vote. For worse or for better, let your voice be heard. We've got men-hating, aggravating, right-wing feminists, pro-life clinic burning, gospel-preaching terrorists, city-dwelling unemployed folks who can't stand it no more. Sky-choking, river-killing, free-market advocates, tree-loving, owl-hugging, pro-environmentalists, urban folk high on dope, raising up the clenched fist. The world's made up of all kinds of people, so vote. Never mind the weather, get your butt in the booth and pull down the lever, vote.